Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And this week, before we jump into our topic, we'll just acknowledge that, hey, thanks for being here. Last week, we took a little vacation. I hope you guys didn't mind. We didn't warn you guys, but, you know, that's what we do. So thanks. We are back. And this week's topic, or this week's question, is what comes first, great sex or great intimacy? All right.
I love this question. Okay. So Janet's the one who heard this question first.
Yeah. Actually,
you heard it in a sermon, right?
Yeah. And I was thinking about that today, where at the time I was very sure what like his point was. And I was like, wait, now I don't know his point. Like if it was like if it was sex or intimacy. But yeah, it came up in a sermon. And I remember like immediately throwing it to Sage because I was like, oh, what an interesting question. Yeah, here we are. But I think before we, like, one of the things that Sage and I think we both are super interested in this topic, because it covers a lot of things that we both love talking about. I really enjoy talking about sex. Sage is an expert in sex, basically, and intimacy and counseling and stuff. So this is going to be, I think, a really interesting conversation to see where we end up on it, because just so our audience knows, we didn't really talk a ton about this and where our points were and stuff. So I think this is going to be really fun. But before we go too quickly, Sage, maybe we should talk about definitions, because I think
yes,
that was something
definitely.
That gets kind of convoluted. Sometimes they're like used interchangeably, that sex is intimate. You know,
right. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, Janet, would it be okay with you if we defined sex, then we defined intimacy, and then we defined the words great in front of them?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, because the great is the hardest part for me about this question, if I'm honest.
Okay,
let's talk about sex. For me, I would classify, for me, sex is everything within the sphere of erotic touch.
So if we're of our listeners, I'm going to go with second base and up.
Sure.
Second base and up. Sure. So touching and up.
I think it has to do also with the intentions of the touch.
Okay.
And so I would say, so what I'm including in sex is not just penetrative intercourse.
No, we're talking about oral.
Making out. It's right.
I can be careful with my words, not intimate acts. Oh, we're talking about physical touch. Fuck, these are interchangeable in my mind. I got to work on this. It's a good thing we're doing this episode, because I'm got to get better about this. Okay. So touching, the intention of the touch behind it.
Right.
Oral sex, that sex in itself, penetrative, all of it, the physical act of, is turning
on. Erotic touch.
Yeah. Erotic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Erotic touch.
Because there is also non-erotic touch. Mm-hmm. I don't hug my son the same way I hug my husband. Okay.
Not
the same. Okay. True. Which leads me to the definition of intimacy.
Okay.
And intimacy are moments that create a sense of being understood, give us feelings of belonging. Feeling known by another person.
So, and that almost sounds like emotional, like that emotional connection.
Well, there's different types of intimacies. So you have emotional intimacy, which is about the feelings, that emotional connection. You have intellectual intimacy, which you could have with someone that you're not in an erotic relationship with.
True.
Okay. You can have an intellectual intimacy with a friend, for example. We have spiritual intimacy. So for me, that's kind of like, you know, if you're a religious person, that could be praying together. I also see spiritual intimacy as like could be like believing for something together, hoping, these kind of like things, like concepts you can't really necessarily grasp, but you can experience that with another person, if that makes sense. Recreational intimacy just means what you enjoy. doing with another person. So,
okay, so like hobbies.
Yeah. if hobby. You and your best friend like to get mani-pedis together, Lord. That is also a type of intimacy. It's a type of getting to know each other. And then I think the very important distinction for me is that there's also physical intimacy and sexual intimacy. Physical intimacy is the non-erotic touch. It's me kissing my son on the forehead. It's when you had a bad day, Janet, me putting your arm around you. I don't have any intentions of sleeping with you, you know, when I just put my arm around you because you had a bad day.
Right.
But that is still something that brings people together. Like that's still a type of physical intimacy that brings people together. And then of course we already talked about sex, which is a form of intimacy. It's a form of physically connecting and creating some sort of like knowing someone in a certain way.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So intimacy is about that connection, that bond. There's something that ties you together. There's something in common, not like it in that sense in that moment ties you together. So that is intimacy. And I think what I'm trying to make sure I get my terms right and stuff is like physical touch is not the same as like a sexual touch or an erotic touch, as we're saying, an erotic touch. Yes. And so I think that is something as we move forward and stuff. Okay. Like that is something I also feel like a physical touch could be an erotic touch though. It just depends on the moment or the intention behind it though. Like a hug, it could be a physical touch, but in like the right circumstance, when I hug a man, it could be like more than that. Is that
right? It's the attention.
Okay.
It's 100% the intention behind it. And I also want to say, you know, because I think some people have experienced erotic touch that was not consensual both ways.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about sexual assault or rape or something like that, to me, I'm like, I don't want to use the word sex to define that. That has another word to define it. It's rape. It's incest. It's, you know, when it's inappropriate. So that way for me, the term sex is always good. It's always consensual. It's always a beautiful bonding experience.
I like that.
Because the non-consensual times have different names.
You're right. No, that's totally right.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I mean, I know I feel like from a girl point of view, I feel like it's slammed down our throats that you have to have an emotional connection with a guy before you can be intimate with them for it to even be good. Like I remember just one personal story. Like I didn't have an orgasm until I was like 24. And that was after I got like a toy, but I went to my gynecologist cause I was like, I haven't had an orgasm. Is that normal? Mm-hmm. And she was it's very common. And like women really only come like 30% of the time from just like penetrative sex. It's emotional. And while that's true and stuff, like I had assistance and that changed the game. Like for me personally.
Well,
like,
they recently,
the point is we were slammed down like from the beginning, my gynecologist, like even at 18, I didn't have sex until I was 20, but like for years, like, you know, like telling me about emotional connections and it's good that I've waited. And like, I feel like in movies too, definitely in church, it's like, you gotta like wait and stuff. So I feel like from a cultural standpoint, women are told that we connect emotionally. And so sex can't be good unless we have these intimate moments that you kind of talked about.
Yeah. I would say, so there is something to emotions, but I don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily to me mean like you made an emotional connection with someone. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. That's good. I think women do get hung up in their emotions of like, I had a bad day, or I'm really dealing with a lot of stress right now. I'm dealing with a lot of depression right now. And then that it's harder for a woman to reach orgasm in those situations. Okay. So that's to me, the link between emotion and sex is like, what is else going on in your brain? You know?
Right.
And you know, what's funny about what your gynecologist said is that, you know, they've been of course doing more studies, and when women are in a relationship with other women, or mm-hmm. when women are masturbating, they have like a 90 to 95% chance of having an orgasm compared to that, whatever it is, 30% or whatever.
I was going to say, I feel like I read this article in Cosmo where I was like, yeah, this is so true.
So the whole idea, I think having an emotional connection is great. It's wonderful. It's a fabulous addition, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of lack of technique or lack of mutual, you know what I mean?
Lack of technique.
Yeah, yes. Of course not.
Lack of effort.
Like, it's not just like, okay, we have an emotional connection, now the sex is going to be great. No, sexual intimacy is its own type of intimacy that needs communication, that needs to be worked on, that needs to, you know what I mean? And so when the emotional connection is there, awesome. Love. I personally think that's great, you know, but you do need something a little bit more than that.
Right.
You know,
you gotta have technique, as they just said. You gotta have technique.
Communication.
So, I mean, it sounds like you've made a little bit of the argument that okay. So we covered that, like, for women, it's been told to us that we gotta have this like emotional connection and stuff, but is that true for dudes? I mean, I don't feel like that is slammed down guys' throats that you have to have an emotional connection to have good sex. Like, that's not what is
happening. Men aren't told that.
No,
I think men more definitely get that experiential talk, like sow your seed everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you would think that they're getting a lot of experience, right? If they're sowing their seeds everywhere. And then yet women are like, have a
30%. Sowing their seeds with? Like,
well, apparently with women who aren't getting orgasms, this is not helping. This is not helpful. Okay. I don't know. And I think that for me, it's okay. I lost my train of thought, but yeah, no.
No, it's okay. Helpful. So I guess where I'm going is this then. So let's be real. You are in a married, committed relationship. So you are in one type of relationship right now. Yes. And I will just be bold and be like, yeah, I'm single and haven't been married, but we have just said I'm not a virgin. So I have been in committed relationships. And personally, I feel like I think great sex can happen without intimacy, but it's just like we talked about on our last episode. If you haven't listened to He's Chill, when we covered He's Just Not That Into You, I think it's the exception to the rule. Like, there's a reason there are not a million girls signing up to do one night stands, because it takes, like, for the, I would say maybe like the average woman, like, it does take a lot more of an emotional connection to have that great experience. Well,
and as you said, it's the,
because I think we're defining great sex as orgasming.
And that's like another great question. Is reaching orgasm actually the definition of having great sex?
Have you had great sex and not had an orgasm?
I would say that there have been times where in like having sex, I knew that I would not reach orgasm because of where I was in my mental state.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like that's not normal. You know? Right. So for me, it's like a pattern over time. So no, it's not great sex, I think, if you don't reach orgasm. For me personally, it's kind of like, well, okay, that was,
I think
that was, sex good. Like, that was nice, but yeah, you know,
it's like, I mean, I don't know what comedian like said this phrase, but like, sex is like pizza. Like, even when it's like cold, it's still pretty good. Like, it's kind of like sex is like that.
Probably
like
a dude.
definitely a dude said this, but I mean, I would counter to say I've had great sex and I didn't reach an orgasm.
Okay.
But like, because for a long time I didn't think it was possible for me to have an orgasm, like,
So many women are in that category.
Yeah, like, it really isn't so until like my women. Late 20s that I got real control of what it took to get there, even though I had been sexually experienced for years at that point. And I thought I still was a sexually confident person and stuff, but I thought I knew what it took, but it took me years. And also I feel like my body changed and blah, blah, blah. It took me a while in conclusion, but I did have great sex I just didn't. Oh, like, I don't know if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like mm-hmm. I've had maybe this is where, okay, we're getting blurry and stuff, because it was with those times that I'm thinking about in my mind, like where I didn't have an orgasm. It was a very, like, I think about those were a very like intimate relationships in my life. Those were yeah. like mm-hmm. a connected experience where more it was like, yes, mm-hmm. it was more erotic touch, and the experience in itself mm-hmm. made it good. So now I'm like countering my own
sex. Well, now, but I told you that in my definition of sex is just yeah. is erotic touch.
True.
You know, but that's my definition of sex. The great, I told you, is the problem I have. Is the great meaning it's all like erotic touch plus the orgasm, you know, like the cherry on the top. Like, did you reach that? Yeah. That's my problem with that word, that in general, you know? Yeah. And so for me, I would say, you know, great sex has been that it's consistently great.
Yeah.
Even if there's yeah. one time here or there, that's maybe a flop, you know?
So you can't just look at one situation and be like, this was good, but you got to put it all together, like, to make it. Well, because I'm just like, damn, Timon, you got to step up your game, boy. Every single day, got to be A+. Like,
I mean, you know, it's not, and it's not his fault if my mind isn't in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my responsibility, you know?
No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. There have been times where I've been given A+ effort, but my brain is at a C-. Like, you know, like.
Right, right.
It's like.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, you know, like.
So is it great or not? Yeah.
That's why I think it's a personal. That's why I think that how you even define great sex is probably a personal definition, you know?
Okay. So you're, yeah, because even right now our definitions are different. You're saying line them up and like, and over time it's good if it's consistently good and you read
orgasm. That's for me personally.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're going personally. Over our personal definitions. Mm-hmm. And I like that yeah. one because I'm not sure. I feel like I'm like, I think it is possible to have great sex without orgasm, but maybe again, it's the exception to the rule. Like I'm like, I don't want our audience going out and doing this. This is one of the things I was thinking. I was like, no.
Well, you know, let's see. What is the, okay, let's take this from another angle and maybe we'll find a different conclusion. Let's talk about the psychology and the hormones, specifically okay. the hormones. Okay. So the hormone, there's a hormone called oxytocin mm-hmm. that is released when you have an orgasm. It is also released in general when you have physical touch to someone.
This chemical that like bonds you or whatever?
Yes, this is okay. the bonding chemical. This okay. is a chemical that literally tells your brain, stick together.
Does everybody
whoever you just touched,
men and women, or yeah, do both men and women get this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's like, stick with that person. Now, this is really interesting because why I also talk about the difference between physical and sexual intimacy is like oxytocin is released at a really high rate when you're breastfeeding. So it's basically like your brain, woman's brain is saying, stay with that baby. Mm-hmm. Don't abandon your kid, you know?
Right.
And it's also released when you have orgasm, which is basically saying like, stick together because you might have a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because your brain doesn't know if you're pregnant or not immediately.
Right.
That and oxytocin is also released just in general, not necessarily with an orgasm, but physical touch in general. So yeah. A kiss, a hug. It has to be actual skin-to-skin contact. But so I think in that way, why did you have, you know, a good, great sex without penetration? Your body is still working out the hormones.
Mm.
Your body is still increasing in intimacy. And that's why for me, it's a overtime kind of thing, because even if I don't reach orgasm, that oxytocin is still there. That bonding experience is still there. You are still deepening and growing in intimacy, even if you didn't reach an orgasm that time. If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. We got these yeah. hormones bonding us together.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Our body is actually like the human body is to me incredible.
The body's like, even if you don't have good sex, we're gonna make you like them anyway. Like. you're not going to feel too bad about it. You're going to want to bond with him. Like, you're going to want.
Okay, now this is interesting, Janet. So the studies show that people in committed long-term relationships are actually the most sexually satisfied. This is just what they show. Okay. I'm not saying
Jimmy doesn't know that my face was like bullshit.
Okay. That's what the studies show. What we hear from the general public though, is calling bullshit on that. You know, what I think is interesting about that is, you know, with intimacy, it does grow over time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering though, is for some couples who've been together a really long time, maybe they don't like each other anymore. After they've known each other for, you know, however long. And so then that would affect their sex life and they're probably not having great sex. Whereas a couple who like just met and they're still in like this puppy dog phase,
and you're trying still at that time. Well, also in the beginning time, you're still trying. You want to impress the other person.
Your intimacy is growing at like a skyrocket rate.
Yes, you're right. You know? You're right. It's like on a scale.
Like, I imagine that those people are having great sex.
Yeah.
So even though it's like a shorter amount of time, you know, then of course there are people who've been married like for a really long time, and it actually is good, and it does get better with time.
Yeah, it takes work. It takes effort. I think that's even with marriage and stuff where people are always like, how do you do it? When they ask those couples that are like killing it, and the couples are always like, well, you know, we still love each other. And they say that, but it's like, yeah, we still go on dates. They mean that like we still put effort into things. So like you still have to put in effort with sex. Like that is something where I think I said bullshit for a reason, because like you get comfortable, like things get stale. You don't want to try. You get tired. There's all these things that come into play that don't matter in the beginning of a relationship that matter later in the relationship. So,
which for me is why I don't want to separate like what's more important, like sex or the other types of intimacy. Cause I'm like all of it,
yes.
You all know, it's important for me to have these emotional discussions with my husband. Intellectual discussions is really important for us as well. We usually talk about theology or politics or something like that. Yeah. We do things we enjoy together. We have physical touch that's, you know, not sexual intercourse, like, you know, holding
hands. As the pregnant woman right now.
Yeah, snuggling is important. And sex is important too, because it's kind of like a package, you know? And I think for me, what the question is, you know, what comes first, great sex or great intimacy? And I have a really hard time saying, I don't know what comes first. It's like a chicken and an egg thing for me. You know what I mean? Like to me, they come together, you know, like it's growing together. It's if you're working on each of the different types of intimacy areas, then it's all getting greater and greater together. But if you suck at emotional intimacy, it's going to affect you in the bedroom. It is going to affect your sex life, you know?
Eventually, so, and that's the thing too. Like eventually it all adds up, because it's like in the beginning in your 20s, maybe it doesn't matter, but eventually it plays on you long-term. So it's like, it may not matter then, but it starts to matter later and stuff that, so you either have to bank on like getting some more intimacy, or you got to plow through, so to speak, and have sex until it's, you get that intimacy. It feels like is the other part of it too, where I don't know about you, Sage, but whenever I know that a couple is on the rocks, or you know, it's like, oh shit, it's when they come to you, it's a long-term couple, and you inevitably get to the point where you're like, after they've told you everything and maybe they're struggling, you're like, well, when was the last time you had sex? Mm-hmm. And they either answer, I can't remember, or it's been at least 3 months. Mm-hmm. Like that's when it's like, okay. Sex and intimacy are almost like interchangeable at that point. Like it's like those couples are using it the same thing and stuff. And sometimes I think when we get in those ruts, like the idea of having sex with someone that you're not even emotionally connected with, it seems impossible. And so for me, I feel like in those moments, and like, actually, I don't know, like, I guess it will depend on each couple and stuff in those moments, what they do. But I just think that's a very normal spot to be. And I think that's a warning sign, actually, like when you and your
relationship. I would say yes.
Like, Janet, that's a red flag.
There's one exception, which I'm going to say in a minute, but I would say yes, definitely. You know, if you're in a long-term committed relationship and you're not having sex, you know, regularly, or when you want to, like when you as a couple would like to have, you know, because every couple is different about how often they want to have sex, whatever. It is. And the thing is, though, that I find is that sex actually, like, sex is usually the sign, but the symptom is usually another type of intimacy.
Yeah.
It's in the emotions. It's in the, you're not spending any other type of quality time together. It's in, you know, and so, and then it feels sometimes like sex is the solution, but if actually, I feel like if you've worked yourself back to a place where you're like comfortably engaging, you know, in that erotic touch again, it's because you worked on something else as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So no, sex, I think, is a great thing. Is like, oh, you know, if you're having sex regularly and you're happy about it, because some people do feel forced, or so I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Then I think it's a good sign in a relationship. I do. The one exception I do want to say, though, is for couples in a long-term relationship, if they haven't had sex for a while and you don't think, and it's not a red flag, is because there are times where sex is not necessarily possible. And it could be for, like, most often for, like, medical reasons.
Yeah.
And that's why for me, it's important that you do have those other types of intimacy, because they have to be strong. They have to hold out.
They got to compensate. That
time. Right.
Yes. Absolutely. So,
I love it. It's so funny. Before I gave birth to my first son, I had a talk with my doctor and I said, listen, how long do you usually wait until you are able to start having sex again, you know?
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I was crazy. He was like, you are about to birth an 8-pound human being through your vagina, and you want to know when I'm going to clear you to have sex again? I was like, I would like to know in my mind the time frame. You know, and he couldn't believe it that was even on my mind. And I'm like,
bitch, I have a high sex drive.
I'm trying to have a kid, not lose the sex life for the rest of my life, you know?
Great.
Okay. And then it turned out it was more complicated for us because I had an episiotomy, which is where they cut you. Yep. I had an episiotomy, which
shit.
they cut me, sewed me up wrong, which means that my recovery time was even longer. And I do want to say, Janet, while we're on the topic,
I remember you being like, I need to recover quicker.
And it was terrible. And I had to have a second surgery and recover again. So my recovery time was actually longer. And some women, this happens so often, botched episiotomies. So many women are dealing with like having uncomfortable sex just because they think that that's how it is now after giving birth. If that's you, that is changeable. Okay. I am living proof of that.
Yeah, ladies, I didn't know that, but these are things you need to know. If you're still having uncomfortable sex at this point after like you've had babies and been medically cleared, you need to like listen to Sage's story.
No, they did something wrong. They did something wrong and it needs to be fixed.
That husband kiss thing, Google it, people. You'll see.
It's disgusting.
Anyway, another story, sex, intimacy, babies, Florida grown femmes. And so that... I think that brings us to the end of our episode today. What comes first, great sex or great intimacy?
Yeah.
We covered the catch-all for every possible answer. So
I want to know what our listeners think, though. So please hit us in the comments because we're dying to know.
Dying to know what your experience is, what you think. Great sex, great intimacy, which intimacy needs to come first, and make sure you got your terms right after listening to our episode right now. This is what we're talking about, but you can head over to our social channels on Instagram or Facebook at Florida Grown Femmes Podcast. You can check us out there. We love, love, love hearing from you guys. We especially love reading your reviews. So if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts or you are a Facebook fan, please go ahead and review us there. We love hearing what you guys say and hearing how we can improve. We love, love, love hear it. So until next week, guys, we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.